Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, unlocking the brain's secrets. I've always been fascinated by dreams, especially the idea of controlling them. It's like having a private movie studio in your mind.
Exactly. And tonight, we're diving deep into lucid dreaming, that unique state where you're aware you're dreaming and can even influence the narrative. I'm particularly intrigued by its therapeutic potential.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? The idea that we might be able to tap into this hidden world and use it to overcome nightmares or even boost creativity.
Yeah.
The big question is, though, how much control do we really have?
Well, that's what we'll be exploring. From the ancient practices of dream yoga to the latest neuroscience research, we'll uncover the science behind lucidity, the role of REM sleep, and the potential therapeutic uses of this fascinating phenomenon.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly defines a lucid dream?
A lucid dream is a dream where the dreamer becomes aware that they're dreaming. This awareness, this lucidity, is the key differentiator from regular dreams. It's like a light switch flipping on in your mind. Suddenly you realize, wait a minute, this isn't real.
Right. And that awareness can sometimes lead to the ability to control aspects of the dream, like the characters or the environment, right?
Yes, but it's important to note that control isn't the defining characteristic of a lucid dream. Some people experience lucidity without control, simply observing the dream unfold. Others might have a degree of control but choose not to exert it. The core element is the awareness itself.
So it's not just about flying or having superpowers in your dreams, although that's certainly a popular conception.
Exactly. Lucid dreaming is a spectrum. It can range from a fleeting moment of awareness to a fully immersive experience where you can consciously shape the dream world.
It's interesting that the concept of lucid dreaming isn't new. We've got accounts dating back to ancient Greece, with Aristotle even mentioning dream awareness.
Absolutely. And practices like dream yoga and Tibetan Buddhism have incorporated lucid dreaming techniques for centuries, using dreams as a tool for spiritual exploration and self-discovery.
It seems like modern lucid dreaming research really took off with the work of Stephen LaBerge, right?
Yes, LaBerge is considered a pioneer in the field. His research at Stanford, including the use of eye signals to communicate from within a lucid dream, really solidified the scientific study of this phenomenon. He also founded the Lucidity Institute, which continues to be a hub for research and education on lucid dreaming.
So if lucid dreaming happens during REM sleep, what's the role of neurotransmitters in this whole process?
Well, REM sleep is a complex interplay of different neurochemicals. Acetylcholine is particularly important, playing a key role in the vividness and rapid eye movements characteristic of REM. Other neurotransmitters, like serotonin and norepinephrine, are suppressed during REM, which might contribute to the dream's often illogical and bizarre nature.
So how does that relate to the sudden awareness we experience in a lucid dream?
One theory involves the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, an area associated with working memory and logical thinking. This area is typically deactivated during REM, but it might briefly become active during a lucid dream, allowing for that aha moment of realization.
So it's like a little part of your waking brain switches on while you're still dreaming?
Precisely. And that's where the potential for control comes in. If that part of your brain is online, you can start to consciously direct the dream narrative.
Now, we've touched on the therapeutic potential of lucid dreaming. Can you elaborate on how it's being used to address mental health issues like nightmares?
Sure. There's growing evidence that lucid dreaming therapy can be effective in reducing nightmare frequency and intensity. By becoming aware they're dreaming, individuals can gain a sense of agency and control over the nightmare scenario, potentially transforming it into something less frightening.
That's incredible. It's like taking back control of your own subconscious.
Exactly. It's empowering. And beyond nightmares, lucid dreaming is also being explored as a tool for managing anxiety, phobias, and even improving physical rehabilitation through mental practice within the dream world.
So we were talking about how lucid dreaming can be used therapeutically, especially for nightmares. It's like rewriting your own scary movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's incredibly empowering. But I think what's even more fascinating is the connection between REM sleep, neurochemistry, and this sudden awareness in lucid dreams.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, we know that during REM sleep, certain neurotransmitters like norepinephrine and serotonin are suppressed, right? And acetylcholine is dominant. It creates this
fertile ground
for bizarre and illogical dream content.
I see. Interesting. So how does lucidity fit into this chemical cocktail?
That's where it gets interesting. The dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain associated with logical thinking and working memory, it's usually offline during REM. But in lucid dreams, it seems to flicker back on. It's like a brief surge of rationality in this otherwise illogical dreamscape.
So it's like a little part of your waking brain is peeking through the curtains of your dream state?
Precisely. And that peak, that moment of awareness, is the seed of lucidity. It allows you to recognize that you're dreaming and sometimes even exert control over the dream narrative.
That's pretty amazing. It's like having a foot in two worlds simultaneously.
It is. And the research on this is still evolving. There's so much we don't yet understand about the precise mechanisms involved.
Right. We touched on LaBerge's work earlier, but what about current research? What are scientists focusing on now?
Well, a lot of research is focused on understanding the specific brainwave patterns associated with lucid dreaming. They're using EEGs and fMRI to pinpoint the areas that light up during these moments of awareness. And they're also exploring how to induce lucid dreams more reliably. Mm-hmm. You know, techniques like reality testing and mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. Mild.
Mild. What's that?
It involves rehearsing a dream scenario before you sleep and setting the intention to remember that you're dreaming within that scenario. It's a kind of mental priming for lucidity.
So it's like planting a seed in your subconscious, hoping it will sprout in your dream.
Yeah, something like that. And some studies have shown promising results with this technique, but there's still a lot of individual variation in how effective it is.
Right, right. And what about the therapeutic applications? Beyond nightmares, are there other areas where lucid dreaming is showing promise?
Absolutely. Researchers are exploring its use in treating phobias, PTSD, and even physical rehabilitation. Imagine being able to confront your fears in a safe, controlled dream environment or practice motor skills after an injury without the limitations of your physical body. The potential is huge.
So we've been talking about the fascinating intersection of REM sleep, neurochemistry, and lucid dreaming. It's like a complex puzzle, isn't it?
It really is. And the more we learn, the more intricate the picture becomes. I mean, just think about the role of REM sleep itself.
Yeah.
It's this paradoxical state where the brain is highly active, but the body is essentially paralyzed.
Right. And within that state, you have this surge of acetylcholine, which creates this vibrant, almost hallucinatory dreamscape.
Exactly. And then within that dreamscape, you have the possibility of lucidity, where a part of your waking brain, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, sort of flickers back online.
It's like a sudden burst of rationality in this otherwise illogical world. I find that incredibly interesting.
Me too. And it raises so many questions, like what exactly triggers that flicker of awareness? Is it a specific change in brainwave activity, a shift in neurotransmitter balance? We still don't have all the answers.
We touched on the therapeutic potential earlier, but I want to circle back to that. The idea of using lucid dreaming to treat nightmares, it's almost like science fiction, isn't it?
I know, right? It's like rewriting your own scary movie from the inside, and the research is showing promising results, not just for nightmares, but for other conditions too, like phobias and even PTSD.
It's remarkable. I mean, imagine being able to confront your deepest fears in a safe, controlled environment. Your own dream. That's incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And beyond the therapeutic applications, there's also the potential for self-discovery, for exploring the hidden depths of your own mind.
Yeah, that's a whole other dimension. It's like having access to your own personal inner universe, and the tools for exploring that universe are still being developed. Things like mild, mnemonic induction of lucid dreams.
Right. It's all about training your mind to recognize the dream state, to plant that seed of awareness. It's still early days, but the possibilities are immense.
There was a lot of discussion about the specific role of different sleep stages, especially REM and slow wave sleep, SWS, in memory consolidation. Do you think lucid dreaming, primarily occurring during REM, could also play a role in this process?
That's a fascinating question. We know that REM sleep is crucial for consolidating certain types of memories, like procedural memories. And given that lucid dreaming involves a heightened level of awareness within REM, it's conceivable that it could enhance or influence memory consolidation in some way.
It's like maybe the act of consciously interacting with the dream narrative of shaping the dream somehow strengthens the memory trace. It's definitely an area ripe for further research.
Absolutely. And then there's the whole question of dream content. What do our dreams actually mean? Are they just random firings of neurons, or do they hold deeper significance? Do they reflect our waking experiences, our fears, our desires?
Right. And how does lucidity affect dream content? Does it make the dreams more coherent, more narrative-driven, or does it just amplify the strangeness, the bizarreness that's already there?
It's a mystery, really. But I think that's what makes it so compelling. It's like, A, this uncharted territory within our own minds waiting to be explored. And with tools like lucid dreaming, we're finally starting to map that territory.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from the neurochemistry of REM sleep to the potential therapeutic uses of lucid dreaming. It's chuento. Jujimeno, amajumeno nige. It's a pretty mind-blowing field, wouldn't you say?
It really is. I'm still grappling with the idea that a part of our brain, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, can sort of reawaken during REM sleep and give us that flash of awareness, that aha moment of lucidity.
Yeah, it's like not a little window into our waking consciousness opening up within the dream. And that window, that awareness, can be the key to controlling the dream, to transforming it.
And that's where the therapeutic potential comes in, right? Using lucid dreaming to confront nightmares, to re-script those, mm-hmm. those terrifying narratives.
Exactly. It's like, empowering people to take back control of their own subconscious. And not just for nightmares, but potentially for phobias, PTSD, even physical rehabilitation.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, we've talked about the studies, but I'm still a little skeptical, to be honest. How much control that we really have? Is it truly possible to consciously shape the dream world?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The research is still ongoing, and there's a lot we don't understand, but the early results are promising. Think about techniques like MILD, a mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. Chanting that seed of intention before you sleep, hoping it will blossom into awareness within the dream.
Right. It's like, hey, priming the pump of your subconscious. But it doesn't always work, doesn't it? There's a lot of individual variability.
True. Some people seem to have a natural aptitude for lucid dreaming, while others struggle to achieve even a fleeting moment of awareness. It's a complex interplay of factors, I think. Neurochemistry, brainwave patterns, individual psychology.
And we haven't even touched on the bigger questions, have we? Like, what do our dreams mean? Are they just random neural firings, or do they hold some deeper significance? Do they reflect our waking lives, our fears, our desires?
Yeah. And how does lucidity affect dream content? Does it make the dreams more coherent, more narrative-driven? Or does it just amplify the strangeness, the bizarreness that's already there?
It's a mystery, really, a vast uncharted territory within our own minds. And with tools like lucid dreaming, we're finally starting to map that territory, to explore its hidden depths.